For the past 15 years, a unique archive in Austin, Texas has been digitizing and cataloging a wide range of moving image material that documents the lives and locales of Texans, and the Texas Archive of the Moving Image has just launched its latest online exhibition titled Weathering Texas that looks at the history of natural disasters and how weather has shaped the state. I'm Charles Horak, and you're listening to On Film. Texas's diverse weather patterns and regional differences are the focus of the Texas Archive of the Moving Image's latest exhibition, and joining me to discuss the archive and this exhibition are Madeline Moya, Managing Director of the Texas Archive of the Moving Image, and Aisha Khan, Curator of the Weathering Texas exhibit. Good morning.
Good morning.
So I should start by saying that we're going to be using the term TAMI, T-A-M-I, which is short for the Texas Archive of the Moving Image, just to get through things a little faster. But Madeline, TAMI's mission, this was a group that was formed, I guess, around 2002, so you're coming up on your 15th anniversary. What was the initial mission of TAMI, and has it changed at all over those 15 years?
I think we're still holding strong in our original mission, which is to discover, preserve, and provide access to the community on Texas's film heritage. Film and videotapes are fragile and impermanent. They're not meant to last. They're very susceptible to heat and humidity, which are two staples of Texas's climate, as most
right.
of us know. Yeah. So they can decompose at very rapid rates, meaning the history held in those frames is lost forever. So TAMI's work is to go around the state and try to preserve these materials before they're lost.
One of the interesting things about the archive, though, is it doesn't just focus on what we would normally think of as commercial moving images, professionally produced moving images. While you have a lot of that kind of material, you're also capturing and preserving a lot of the images from a lot of non-traditional chroniclers. Those could be home movies, just amateur photographers, all sorts of material that sort of broaden our view of how Texans live or lived.
Right. TAMI kind of represents the other side of film preservation, the non-cinema side of the field. Most Hollywood pictures and produced images are taken care of because they may make money. And most of the stuff we take care of is going to be thrown out in the dumpster. So we go around and try to collect local news, which isn't always as well preserved as you would think because news stations kind of have traditionally thought of it as yesterday's news. So we try to get local news and advertisements, government films and industrial productions, and then, like you said, home movies, you know, backyard birthday parties, hometown parades, Thanksgiving dinners. These films capture our traditions and our lives over decades as Texans, and they're captured from the citizens' perspective. So they're some of the best historical documents of our culture that exist.
A lot of these are searchable online at texasarchive.org. And you have a lot of keywords that help people find things. But I guess over the last 14 or 15 years, as you've amassed quite a large archive of material, you've begun to curate these online exhibitions around specific focuses. I know in the past we've had you on the show to talk about the space program, film production in the state, the Cold War. So you're using all of this material and data that you've amassed to help package these more easily digestible focus areas for viewers. I guess that leads us into Weathering Texas, Aisha's latest project. Now, Aisha, you are an intern through the University of Texas at Austin, is that right?
I just recently graduated from the School of Information program.
Great, congratulations.
Thank you.
So you've been working on this project. What led you to put together an exhibit on weather in the state?
I think that, there's two reasons. Natural weather and disaster footage is really well represented in TAMI's collection and has been used in the past for educational initiatives and collaborations with the Texas school system. So we really wanted to create an online exhibit that could kind of bring all of those films together in one central location as opposed to searching through TAMI's website. But I think the audiovisual history of natural disasters in Texas is especially significant because it really brought filmmakers to Texas. The 1900 hurricane that struck Galveston brought Thomas Edison and his film company to the Galveston shore to document the wreckage there. And people have been filming natural disasters in Texas ever since.
And fascinating footage, as you say, Edison and his company came down just after the 1900 Galveston hurricane. It's amazing how it changes you know, I was aware of that hurricane, but my perception of it changed so much just looking at this footage. The power of moving images to broaden our view of these historic events is really extraordinary. Is this some of the earliest material you have in the archive, since it's from 1900?
It is the earliest footage that we have in the archive.
You've broken the exhibit down into a number of subsections. You look at actual disasters. So why don't you walk us through a few of the types of disasters that you're chronicling in this exhibit?
Of course. The exhibit starts with the Galveston hurricane in 1900, then steps to the 1930s. We have a lot of great Dust Bowl newsreel footage that captures the Texas Panhandle at that time. Then into the 60s, we have Hurricane Carla from 1961, Hurricane Beulah in 1967. And then we also have an exhibit on two tornadoes that both struck Wichita Falls, one in 1964 and 1979.
Those were both Category F5 tornadoes, weren't they?
Yes, that's correct.
One of your sections in the exhibition is called Climate Regions, which spotlights, I guess, six distinct regions of Texas. West Texas and the Big Bend area is one of those, centered around El Paso. I guess the weather issues that you're chronicling for our area of the state tend to have to do with drought and dust storms and flash floods. You've got some amazing footage of the Presidio flood of 1978, which I had forgotten happened, frankly. So when you get this material, where does it typically come from?
It comes from both home movies, newsreel footage. Most of the footage from the exhibit comes from primarily news sources. Universal Newsreels produced a lot of the footage surrounding the Dust Bowl. More recent flash flooding from local Weather Bureau stations and news stations across the state. But another special lens is the resident that's documenting the storm on the side of the street or from their home. So there's a lot of great amateur footage that's also capturing the storms on the ground.
You give a lot of data, too. There's a beautiful timeline on your website, the history of these disasters, where you can kind of scroll across and see milestones, if you will, in bad weather in Texas's history. But I was interested that you went into some of the economic issues surrounding weather and natural disasters in Texas, particularly focusing on ranching and agriculture.
Yeah, and natural disasters aren't only interesting to look at, but it's fascinating how these weather patterns have really shaped how people have moved across the state because of economic crisis. For example, the Dust Bowl in the 1930s forced millions of Texans off their land and pushed them west. Some were unable to come back. We have some footage of a really severe drought in the 1950s, known as the Great Dry-Up, that caused an even greater displacement of farmers than the Dust Bowl itself.
And those Texans, did they move primarily to other parts of the state or out of state and just never came back, or both?
Both. For the Dust Bowl, they joined a lot of other populations from Oklahoma to regions of California. And while some were able to return, others did not.
And people might be thinking John Steinbeck's The Grapes of Wrath, that time period.
Exactly.
One of the things that I've, piece of information in here I found interesting was that the Wichita Falls tornado of 1979 was the most costly in history, which was pretty amazing, and that it actually displaced 20% of the town's population permanently. The devastation of that, I mean, you can read about these tornadoes and try to imagine, but when you see footage of the kind that you have in here of the destruction, it really brings home the magnitude of some of these disasters.
It is pretty fascinating. It's really had an impact on how urban centers have developed. Mm. I learned from looking at the history timeline, I didn't even know that there was a town named Indianola on the Gulf Coast, because when a hurricane came through Indianola in the late 1800s, it just wiped the city out and no one ever came back. It's a ghost town.
Hmm. Interesting.
In Galveston, you know, was known as the Wall Street of the Southwest. And after the 1900 hurricane hit Galveston, it never really recovered to be the economic center that it was at that time. So it's interesting to see how industry sort of migrated to cities like Houston after the rebuilding of Galveston.
Right. And also the exhibition also outlines some of the responses to those major natural disasters. I think you have information there about the relief work, but also the flood and drought control programs that the state implemented and the National Weather Bureau. Was that something going in that you wanted to do, is look at the policy side of what happens after a natural disaster? Or did it just organically grow out of the documents you were finding and the images you were finding?
I think it's more of an organic process, especially reading a lot about Hurricane Carla in 1961. Hurricane Carla is really significant because Dan Rather was reporting on the storm, and it was Dan Rather's idea to publicly broadcast the image of the radar of the hurricane, which had never been done before on television. And because he was able to show that image to people who, prior to this hurricane, you didn't have a sense of when the hurricane was coming until you were actually in the storm. So being able to see the radar of the hurricane in advance helped evacuate over 350,000 people. And while it was a deadly storm, I think only 45 people passed away in the storm.
I know that, Madeline, one of the things that Tammy has been doing in recent years is working on lesson plans for school districts to use all of this material to teach, particularly Texas history, obviously, but more broadly history in general. And while this exhibition looks at past weather history in the state, you don't really touch on issues of human costs of climate or climate change going forward into the future. Certainly, it seems like there's an educational component here that allows us to learn from the past the economic and displacement issues that come with weather and apply them maybe to the changes that are coming in our climate.
Right. There is a lot of relevant material in here that could be very useful in the classroom. It just contains a wealth of primary and secondary sources that would help teach the geography requirement for social studies. You know, the films can help you teach weather patterns and how they affect settlement patterns, talk about our natural resources and the hazards of our natural resources, how urban areas have developed, and how physical environments have been modified to help people live with the weather in their region, as well as, you know, what Aisha just touched on, you know, the role of government in preparing for and reacting to natural disasters. All of this would be extremely relevant in the classroom, and having those primary sources is pretty crucial for teachers. We're actually developing right now one of our lesson plans to correspond with the exhibit, and that'll be coming in just a couple months. It's, you know, they're all of our lesson plans. We have about 50 on our website now. They're all free and available for classroom teachers to use. It's part of our mission to, you know, educate students and the community alike about our film heritage and, you know, really use these resources to teach Texas history.
Well, I certainly learn lots every time I watch one of your exhibitions, and I learn a lot about the history of our state when we talk, so I want to thank you both for joining me today.
No, thank you. It's a pleasure.
I've been discussing the work of the Texas Archive of the Moving Image and their recently launched online exhibition, Weathering Texas, with the Archive's Managing Director, Madeline Moya, and Aisha Khan, the curator of the Weathering Texas exhibition. To view the exhibit and see more of the Texas Archive of the Moving Image's collections, and to support their work with a donation, log in to texasarchive.org. Thanks to Evan Walsh for engineering today's show. An archive of past programs is available on this station's website at ktep.org. I'm Charles Horak. Thank you for listening to On Film.